You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We have a lot to report, some exciting stuff. This is part two with my friend and culture warrior extraordinaire, Scott Lively. Scott, are you on the line?
I'm on the line.
Hey, well, we certainly had. I knew it was going to be, an interesting time when you came to speak and be honored at the Americans for Truth banquet, but I didn't know it would be this wild.
Yes, it was quite an interesting weekend.
Folks, what happened, if you haven't heard, and you can get the details at our website, americansfortruth.org. That's americansfortruth.org. Scott Lively is so hated for telling the truth, and they tell so many lies about him that the homosexual activists have stirred up this hate against Scott Lively that the day of our banquet, which was last Saturday, October 15th, pro-homosexual activists threw two large brick pavers through the doors of Christian Liberty Academy. One of the brick pavers had a message on it, "Shut down Lively." Then they sent a note with it, and the note had some expletives, but it says, "This is just a sample of what we will do if you don't shut down Scott Lively and AFTA." So basically, and it's even worse, Scott. Then they also, just like Al Qaeda, they went on a website and claimed responsibility for the act. And let me read the last paragraph there, Scott. And then let's hear your reaction to all of this. This is in a thing posted on a website, a left wing website, sort of a note taking responsibility for this awful crime against Christian Liberty Academy targeting Scott Lively. It said, quote, "These chunks of concrete were thrown through these windows and doors for two reasons: to show that there is a consequence for hatred and homophobia in our community, and to directly cause this event to be shut down. If this event is not shut down and the homophobic day trainings do not end, the Christian Liberty Academy will continue to be under constant attack," unquote. Scott, I know you're a controversial guy, but isn't this pushing the limits?
Well, you know, it's very reminiscent of the brown shirt tactics of the early Nazis, and it really is consistent with what you and I know about this movement. But it's really the first time I've ever seen this kind of brazen, embrace of the vandalism and terroristic threat. You know, they've come out and admitted that what they've done. Claimed responsibility, and promised more of the same. Now, can you imagine? Can you just imagine what would be going on right now if this had been done against the Human Rights Campaign or any other group,
a gay church, yeah, anything,
any other protected group under the Constitution, or not even under the Constitution, but under the new hate crimes laws, this would be probably not just national. This would probably be international news.
Yeah, and Scott, it's interesting to watch the press reports. They seem to be pushing the line that this is kind of more vandalism. The police in Arlington Heights, where the city where Christian Liberty Academy is based, they are not pursuing this as a hate crime. Now, we've got to be careful. Both Scott and I oppose the whole concept of hate crimes. We believe, well, at least I do, Scott. Tell me if you disagree.
Right. I believe that that hate crimes are really inappropriate. The beliefs of a perpetrator should really have no bearing on the prosecution of his crime.
Right.
But since the hate crimes laws are in effect, and religion is one of the categories, then it should be people who are attacked for their religion should be protected the same way as the other groups.
Yes. And Scott, can you imagine now this website that I described? It's called Chicago Independent Media Center. It's a left-wing website in Chicago. I mean, can you imagine if Scott Lively or somebody even associated with you took responsibility for an terroristic act against, say, a gay church, the Metropolitan Community Church, which is a quote-unquote gay denomination? Scott, I believe you would probably be looking at 10 years in jail or something if you were even ever associated. And yet here's this website. Scott, it's still live. Evidently they haven't even investigated it because it's still up there.
Yeah, it's the double standard is absolutely mind-boggling. And the only positive thing out of all this is it really validates our claims and charges that we've been making about this double standard. I mean, the average reader of the newspaper is not stupid. And regardless of what the police say about whether this fits in the statute or not, they recognize what's going on here. Now, either the police department has made an honest mistake about not understanding the nature of religion, or this is a deliberate attempt to suppress something that would be negative to the gay cause.
Now, we should educate people. In Scott, you are a pastor. And the whole event was all about Christianity and upholding biblical values and the gospel. And you shared in two events, and it was wonderful presentations, folks. And I also forgot to remind people here that Scott has just received, we presented him with our 2011 American Truth Teller Award, which only goes to the most brave people like Scott, who was just floored by the stories you were telling, and we're going to get into that a little later, Scott, telling about the awful persecutions that you've endured, and gladly so, for the cause of Christ and telling the truth. But Scott, the whole thing was religious, and so to not call this targeting religion is ludicrous.
Right. The argument that the police department made was really that this attack was based upon the views of, you know, my views, for example. Well, I mean, that shows a glaring ignorance of the nature of Christianity. Christianity is, by definition, about views. It's our view of God, eternity, and sexual morality, among other things. And that's the whole essence of religion, of all religions. It comes down to what you believe, which is synonymous with what your views are. So on that basis, they said, well, since it's based on views, it's and not on religion, therefore it doesn't fall under the hate crime statute. It's absurd on its face.
Now, let me ask you this, Scott. All the demonization of you and me and anybody who stands up to the homosexual activist movement and this idea, and they were lying about you, and even I think even you are astonished at how big these lies. I mean, you know, they're going around saying Scott Lively favors killing gays in Uganda, even though you oppose the very legislation. You oppose the death penalty part of the Uganda legislation for aggravated sex crimes. But do you think is this sort of kid gloves treatment, which is starting to emerge, not pursuing this as they would maybe if a gay church had two big bricks thrown through its windows? Is it because of this demonization of people like you and me as haters? And so maybe there's this attitude, well, those guys are haters. They don't deserve the same protection.
No, I think it actually goes to the other foot, and that is that homosexuality is a class that deserves special protection, and that since this is a contest between people with different views on that issue, only the pro-homosexual view is going to be respected. So I suppose it's a variation on what you said, but I think it goes more to a fear of the gays and allegiance to the gays. And their political goals. You know, this is outrageous. If like we've been saying, if this had been anybody else, but you know, how many times do we say that?
Yeah.
Because this is not the first time
right.
that we've seen this this incredible double standard being played out.
Well, I think it is the first time with this manifesto, folks, and
right,
and
right.
and it's just and Chicago is notoriously pro homosexual. You know, it's just it is really. Permeated the whole metropolitan, you know, huge gay pride parades every year, and there's so much political correctness now.
I just wonder, Peter, if these police officials from Arlington Heights have been participants in the gay pride parades.
What we need to know is, what influences are at work here? Because it just strikes me as odd that we would continue to hear this described as vandalism. Yeah, vandalism is throwing a brick through a window. But when you attach a hate note, again, let me read this. It says, here's the note that came in a bag that was with the big brick paver rock, brick. Quote, this is just a sample of what we will do if you don't shut down Scott Lively. Now, Scott Lively was slated to get the award at our Americans for Truth banquet, which, by the way, he did. We're not going to be intimidated by a bunch of thugs, gay or otherwise. If you don't shut down Scott Lively in AFTA, and then it says F, the F word, F Scott Lively, quit the homophobic S blank blank blank, that was the crude note, and then you had the actual posted warning on the internet. It's quite extraordinary, Scott.
Yes, it is. I'm wondering if the police, if they are just treating this as just a simple vandalism case, that they probably did not forward this to the FBI or Homeland Security as they would have done with any other group. And so I think it's going to fall to us to have to do that, because this is, you know, in my situation, I'm being accused of being the mastermind of what they call the Kill the Gays Bill in Uganda.
Hold it right there, Scott. We'll come right back with Scott Lively after the break. Welcome back, folks. I'm talking with my friend Scott Lively, and Scott is the founder of Defend the Family International, also Abiding Truth Ministries. He's also got a church and reaching out to the inner city in Springfield, Massachusetts. He's just an extraordinarily accomplished man, and he's done it all for the Lord. He told his story, shared his story last week, I believe, about being saved by God from a life of you were living homeless on the streets, right, Scott?
Yes, I was an alcoholic and a drug addict for 16 years, some of those years on the street under bridges and things.
And the Lord rescued you, and now you've given your life to him. And we wanted to recognize Scott because he's gone through so much for this cause of sort of the thankless cause of fighting the homosexual lobby. But Scott, I was struck with when you gave your talks, and we'll have all Scott's presentations will be available on YouTube, and we can also have you'll be able to get tapes. But I was struck by how bad it was. I didn't realize it was. You went back to describing when you led. Were you the media director for Oregon Citizens Alliance, fighting this Measure 9 to basically stop the government from promoting homosexuality? And I want you to get into that. But folks, this is a guy who's gone through a lot, and yet now here, 20 years later, he's being accused by these lying homosexual activists. And all you can say is that they just lie and lie, and then the lies keep escalating. Well, now the lies have escalated to the point where they're basically saying Scott Lively is the catalyst behind a Kill the Gays Bill in Uganda. In other words, here's a man who's devoted himself to the life-changing gospel of Christ and actually cared for dying homosexuals. Now they're saying he wants to kill, and me, of course, also, for condoning this man by giving him an award. The lies keep coming, Scott, and I think that fuels this. The left talks about a climate of hate. They cause their own climate of hate, which results in these sorts of hateful actions against churches and such.
Right. There's no better propagandist in this world than the gay activists. And the propaganda is malicious, and in my case, it's compounded over 20 years of my front lines activism, that every word that can be twisted out of context, every misrepresentation they can make about one of my actions has been done, and then they build layer upon layer, so then they'll take one and then build upon that to the next one. But the worst of all was this accusation of being the mastermind of the Uganda bill. I actually spoke to the Uganda parliament when I was there, and I advised them to follow a therapeutic model, to be the first nation in the world, to focus on therapy, to set a model for the rest of the world. And I used my own example of having been arrested for drunk driving when I was an alcoholic, and not being thrown in jail, but being offered the opportunity of treatment, which I took was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. And I said, if you do this with the homosexual issue, then you can set the example for the whole world. And that was my testimony. And yet, when the bill came out, it was harsh, really sort of traditional, very harsh African justice. That's their statutes that they craft in Africa, and most of the African countries are very, very extreme. And ironically, they don't really enforce them. They have these extreme measures on the books, and then when it comes to actually applying them, they're very lenient. It's quite an amazing sort of thing to watch as an attorney to see how they do things there. But nevertheless, I was accused in the international media of being the person who went there. I was specifically accused outside this event, outside the AFTA banquet, a man standing outside on a loudspeaker saying outright that I went to Uganda for the purpose of orchestrating this bill, which is absolute falsehood. This is actionable defamation, frankly.
What do you say, actionable? Explain that for the non-lawyers.
Well, a defamation is a false statement of fact, a false statement of fact that is made for the purpose of damaging another person's reputation, and which does cause them damage. And so here you have that, all that in a nutshell. You have a false statement of fact. There's absolutely, they cannot prove this. There's not a shred of evidence. They're just making this up from whole cloth. Now, organizations like the New York Times and some of these others, they're smart enough to know how to phrase these things so it creates the impression or the implication without them actually making the false statement of fact. But these bozos outside of the AFTA banquet are actually putting their foot right in their mouth with this statement. I'm still contemplating whether I'm going to file action. Defamation is very difficult to win, and frankly, I would prefer to spend my time doing other things. But nevertheless, this shows you the mentality of these people, that they don't care what the truth is. They have no evidence to support the allegation that they're making. But what they are doing with this is creating a serious security threat to my person.
Yeah.
Because all it takes is for one kook. And believe me, there are a lot of them out there. You should see the hate mail that I get in my inbox, comparing me to Hitler, saying that I have blood on my hands, etc. By the way, there's been no one has ever been, the bill was not passed.
The Uganda bill.
Right. No one was ever charged under it, obviously, because it was never passed. And yet, there's this impression out there that not only was it passed, I was the person that did it, and there have been people actually have been executed. And so, with that kind of hysteria being circulated among the fringe of these sexual radicals, what's going to stop some, crazy Vietnam vet or somebody else that's stopped taking their meds from just shooting me in the head as a service to humanity?
Now, Scott, let's go right to the letter. Now, this is still posted, folks. As of today, we're pre-recording on the 19th of October. It's as of October 19th, this hateful post claiming responsibility for this basically domestic terrorism against Christian Liberty Academy. It says in the manifesto, on January 26th, Ugandan gay rights activist David Kasulu was murdered after being outed in a newspaper ad that listed names and photos of queer people. Again, this is the homosexual activist writing. Photos of queer people in the community as part of an anti-campaign that is a result of Scott Lively's visit. Respond to that, Scott.
Well, first of all, there was a newspaper that did that. It posted the 100 top gay activists in Uganda, and it even had some inflammatory language associated with it. I have nothing to do with that, the publication. I have no idea who put it out, and there are some hard heads and hotheads in that country. But this is the only country in the world that has a national holiday celebrating opposition to sodomy. King Mwanga in the 1800s was a pederast. A pederast is a homosexual man oriented toward teenage boys. And he staffed his, his inner court with young men and boys whom he would sodomize. And they were required under the law, his word was law, to submit. Well, the Catholics had come into Uganda, and many of these young men were converting to Catholicism, and a group of them, 22 of them, said, no, we are not going to submit to sodomy. So the king had them torturously bound, march 37 miles, and then when they refused to submit, he had them thrown alive on a bonfire, and they were all roasted alive on a fire. That's commemorated every June 3rd as Uganda Martyrs' Day. And so this is deep roots in this country. So to suggest that somehow these Africans were sort of agitated and, the colonialists came over and put strange ideas in their mind is ridiculous, insulting, racist, and factually wrong. But what did happen with this man, David Kato, is that what I knew him by?
Is that the same guy as this David Kasulu?
Yeah.
Okay.
David Kato. I guess his Kasulu is some other surname, but when this story came out, it was all David Kato, David Kato, David Kato. But David Kato was a prominent homosexual activist in Uganda, and he was beaten to death with a hammer. And of course, when the news came out, no one, they hadn't caught anybody. It was just, the death was reported. And once I got 4 or 5 days of intense international media, and the hate mails came stronger than ever before, all with this message, you're a murderer, this blood is on your hands, et cetera, et cetera.
In other words, Scott Lively goes, because you spoke to the people of Uganda and you're opposed to homosexuality from a Christian perspective, they blamed you for David Kato's murder.
Yes. And then, as it turned out, after 4 or 5 days, they actually caught the perpetrator. And of all things, he was a male prostitute whom the victim had bailed out of jail to take into his home to be his live-in lover and had promised him money and a house and some other things. And when the prostitute realized that he wasn't going to pay up, he took a hammer and then beat his brains in. And so that's the story. The guy, the police caught the guy. He confessed. They even had an interview where the media was involved, and he talked to the media about it, which never happened here in the U.S., but it happened there. And of course, none of these facts were ever published in any of the media that had created the implication or the impression.
No correction.
No correction.
Clarifying the record.
Right. They just dropped the subject completely. No retraction, no apology, none of it. And I would suggest the majority of the gay activists who are out there still don't know that those are the facts, because their own media has suppressed this in order to create, because this has public relations value for them. They don't care whether it's a lie or not, and therefore they allow it to continue to be perpetuated.
Well, Scott, we want to correct the record ourselves. We're talking to Scott Lively. His website is defendthefamily.org. Defendthefamily.org. Ours is americansfortruth.org. You can hear last week's interview and all our interviews. And also give us a buck, help us out. americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm talking to Scott Lively, who was honored at our Americans for Truth banquet. It was the best banquet we ever had, best attended. We did not give up because we got there were a couple bricks thrown through the Christian Liberty Academy. And Calvin Lindstrom, who's the pastor there, is the kind of guy who would never give in to such ridiculous demands and such bullying. And Scott, you know, the homosexual movement talks a lot about bullying, but it's hard to get worse bullying than this.
Exactly. That's, you know, everything that they accuse others of doing, they do themselves and are masters of doing.
Well, on that note, you know, one of the things that's happened after this event is that some really sort of, they're just fools. One of them is homosexual activist Joe Jervis, who runs a very popular blog called in gay circles called Joe My God. And immediately after this, he started saying that we created this incident to garner publicity for our banquet. And then others chipped in, and that website, which has the threat, they have several posts here. Here's one from a guy named Jeremiah. He says, I quote, I have no doubt that Peter LaBarbera and his AFTA group did this themselves. They will do anything to make themselves the victims to get support and sympathy from people. It is truly sad, very unchristian of them. And, you know, Scott, if only I was organized to plot a hate crime against myself. I don't think I'm organized enough to pull it off.
Well, I mean, they do all the time, so it seems natural to them for other people to do the same thing. Maybe some of them actually believe it.
Yeah, I mean, the movement is based on lies and some monstrous lies, but I was really I enjoyed hearing your one of your talks about an infamous so-called hate crime that occurred back when you were in Oregon in the 1990s. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, I was the communications director for the Oregon Citizens Alliance, and we had filed a ballot measure for the 1992 election. We filed it in April of 91. And it set off a firestorm that really is the most intense political battle on the homosexual issue that has ever taken place in America. It was really like the gates of hell kicked open and all the demons came out. An unbelievable, unbelievable level of hostility and manipulation and dirty tricks.
What would Measure 9 have done?
Well, it would have amended the state constitution to define homosexuality as unnatural and perverse, abnormal, unnatural, and perverse. We use the three words, abnormal, unnatural, and perverse. And in that, by doing that, it would have stopped all of the government promotion of the homosexual agenda, because really that's how most of it got done, was through people in positions of power, gatekeeping positions, that would push stuff through outside of the influence of the public. And, you know, even today, all these years later, homosexual issues rarely, rarely ever are passed by a majority vote. They're all done by people that are sitting in positions of power to do them, judges, governors, members of legislative bodies. But anyway, this measure would have stopped all that. It would have, frankly, triggered a landslide of similar measures across the country. We wouldn't be having these conversations today because the agenda would have been stopped cold. But they pulled out all the stops to prevent this measure from passing, including fake hate crimes. There was a black wheelchair-bound lesbian named Azalea Cooley who started having crosses being burned in her front yard. And after the first few of those, there were 21 total over the course of the campaign, the months leading up to the 92 election, she became the poster girl of what they call the No on Hate campaign. It was ballot measure 9. There is officially the No on 9 campaign, but they called it the No on Hate. And so she was the poster girl. And frankly, no one could ever catch the people that were doing it. And then just before the election, just a week or so ahead of the vote, a couple of rogue cops set up a stakeout outside Azalea Cooley's home. And in the middle of the night, caught her walking out her own front door, not in a wheelchair, but walking out her own front door with a can of gasoline and a wooden cross in the other hand. And of course, they arrested her. And the next morning, there was a press conference held by the two cops. And there were quite a few media there. This was too big of a story for them to spike completely. But they covered it only in as limited a fashion as they could and in as limited a scope as they could. It really didn't get outside the Portland area. And none of the media, drew the line between the points of data here to point out that Azalea Cooley's lover, live-in partner, was on the sheriff's department. A lesbian on the sheriff's department, and that the police chief of Portland, Mr. Tom Potter, whose daughter was an open lesbian on the police force, was one of the spokespeople for the No on 9 campaign. None of those links were ever made, and so it had a very limited effect on the election. But the worst thing of all about all of this was that the biggest event of the election for the other side's campaign was their final, their grand finale, a giant march against hate from Northeast Portland into downtown. Now, with thousands and thousands and thousands of people all marching against Measure 9, led by none other than Azalea Cooley in her wheelchair. just the enormity of the fraud that was perpetrated, and the enormity of the list of people who knew and had the ability to have said something about it and who didn't. We're talking the vast majority of the people who were in that parade knew exactly what they were doing, and they were willing to march in a lie.
And they knew that the media would not expose it more and expose the folly of it. And that's a good picture for where we are today. In Chicago, it's very bad, the one-sided coverage. Even some of the stories on this incident, the media stands as a protector of gay propaganda, basically of the homosexual activist message. There's very little critical eye given accountability, and this case I think is interesting of this whether you call this domestic terrorism or a hate crime, Scott. I mean, it's not too hard to imagine if it were the other way around, the incredible attention that this would be getting. It's gotten some attention, but it's sort of, there's still that ambiguity around that, which would not be there were it the other way around.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. In the internet age that we're in now, this is a completely different phenomenon than it was before.
Yes, absolutely.
When I got started standing up to this issue, it was really no different back in Portland when I was with OCA. The coverage was just as one-sided. It was outrageous bias, double standards, manipulation of the facts, magnification of everything that benefited the gays, and suppression of everything that would reflect negatively on them. And except at that point, there was no Rush Limbaugh on the air. There was no talk radio network of Christian conservative activists. There was no alternate internet media. And so people were really just sort of stuck. And if you were a conservative, you sort of saw yourself as kind of a lonely soul wandering through the secular universe. And yet today, when the stories get posted on the news sites that allow comments, you see just how strong the the opinions are of the people that are monitoring these things. And people are not fooled about what's going on. And there's going to become a day of reckoning for these people. You know, people that are lying continuously in order to advance their own ideology, that are ignoring the rule of law that's supposed to protect all of us equally. That's something we count on for our security as a society, and that are abusing power and in every type of position that they hold. You know, whether it's just a spiritual day of reckoning or a political one as people rise up against this, but it's coming, because this kind of manipulation, this kind of deception just cannot stand, never has.
Do you think it's going to get so bad that the homosexual side is going to grow so arrogant, like this boast that's still on the internet? Do you think it's going to just backfire on them big time? Or do you think it will be a slow process of people starting to, you know, sort of like the pro-life struggle?
Well, let me put it this way. I've had an occasional exchange with the very aggressive homosexual activist that sends me emails. And recently he sent one in response to that editorial I wrote, titled "Gay Culture War, It's Nearly Lost." It was published on WorldNet Daily. You can find it on there if you want it. But he responded that basically with this gloating tone that, yes, you guys have almost lost. Ha, 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 ha. And my response back to him was, you know, don't be gloating, my friend, because if we lose, meaning the Christians, what that represents is a collapse of genuine morality and the rise of barbarism, a culture of barbarism. We're already seeing that to some degree. As Christianity diminishes in America, the amount of barbarity, the wickedness just increases all around it. That's why we have so many school shootings and flash mobs and innocent people being beat up here and there. But that's with Christians still having a significant influence. If that continues to wane, the people that are going to follow behind us and come in to fill the gap are not going to be egalitarian minded, libertarian.
Hold on right there, Scott. We'll come back right in the last part with Scott Lyman. Welcome back, folks, to the last segment of part two of our interview with Scott Lively. And by the way, you can find him at defendthefamily.org. That's defendthefamily.org. You can also, if you want to support Christian Liberty Academy, I believe that website is, well, just plug in Google, Christian Liberty Academy. It's in Arlington Heights. If you want to support them for the strong stand they've taken, not giving in to the left-wing mob or this hateful attack. And, of course, you can support Americans for Truth at our website, americansfortruth.org. Scott, you were talking about what's going to happen, the future of America, if Christianity continues to wane. Keep going with that.
Well, just that, you know, the people that always sweep in following the moral collapse are always brutal. And some of the first people that they brutalize are homosexuals. It's always been the case. There are real Nazis out there, and there are people that are completely absorbed in selfishness that enjoy being hostile and cruel to other people, and some of the target historically, the targets of that kind of brutality are homosexuals. So the thing that stops that from happening, the thing that stopped it from happening in centuries past, was the rise of Christianity, the idea of tolerance, that even though we don't agree with a particular sin, we will allow people to be able to make those choices under the free will that Christianity respects, and that we just simply will prevent those things from being mainstreamed. But once those barriers are down, because once Christianity is defeated, if that happens, then the gays are not going to be happy with the alternative.
And it's to the point now where you have state sponsored homosexuality, and you ask a legitimate question about police forces. Many police forces now have a very strong pro gay presence or official pro homosexual programs. And you wonder whether you get justice out of cops, out of judges. Obama is appointing I think two openly homosexual judges. What's going to happen to the cause of religious freedom as this sort of thing proliferates, Scott?
Well, we're seeing the diminution of Christian values and the Christian political power as the believers sort of shift from an emphasis on standing on the truth of the Bible to compromise with the world. The world does not accept, does not respect that compromise. They see it as a sign of weakness, and they just just roll right over the top of people who are trying to accommodate them.
Right.
They are trying to accommodate. And so, that's the future. Look at what's going on in England. England, which is just a couple of years ahead of us, now has Islam has come flooding in to England. London is practically unrecognizable, and whole sections of the city have been taken over by Muslims. There's this bizarre partnership that is going on between homosexuals and Muslims, because the enemy of my enemy is my friend,
right.
And both are targeted at breaking the influence of Christianity in the West. And yet, if Christianity falls, which I think we're closer to the end times, I think we're going to see some of the predictions of the Bible come true before that happens. But nevertheless, if the Lord tarries, what would happen is, as genuine Christianity is sort of defeated, then there's going to be a war between the secularists and the Muslims. And the Muslims aren't going to put up with this. They already will behead people for any number of things, including homosexuality, in every country that they have control over. It's just unbelievable that the gays would reject the gentleness of Christianity, our gentle opposition against them, in favor of an allegiance with a group that will brutally murder them as soon as they get the
opportunity. Well, I think it's the judgment that they resent, the judgment of the Bible and the Christianity against this lifestyle, and hence they're trying to also something that a lot of pastors are really not aware too much about is they're trying to redefine the Word of God, and now now create this sort of gayized Christianity.
Yeah, and that's a huge problem as well. Really, the fault of all of this lies with the church, since the church for quite a long time has been really seems to be more afraid of man than it is of God, and we are no longer, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of salvation for all who believe, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. That's a direct quote from Scripture. How true is that?
Well, if Christians are...
As a philosophy.
I mean, you're extraordinary, Scott, in that you've been out there doing this. I mean, I don't think there's hardly any people who could have withstood what you went through in Oregon with this campaign, and that's how it is. But, you wonder...
I don't know if that's true. But, Peter, that's not true historically.
Right. No, not historically. No, I mean, right. In modern times, it seems there's so many Christians who are afraid of being called a name.
Christians are afraid of, are even afraid of being identified as Christians in their workplace. How many people, maybe even some listening to this radio show, that are in situations where they're surrounded by secular people who don't even know that they're a Christian, right? What kind of Christianity is that? And that's even including a strong audience. I mean, you've got some of the people that are probably the best of, the cream of the crop in terms of people that will stand up for the truth of the gospel. So if that remnant has wavering in their confidence in contending for the faith, then how bad is it among all of these mainline denominations where they stopped preaching, Romans 1 and other passages decades ago?
Right. Do you in the banquet you said basically that there's a chance that we can turn around. But looking out as a sort of a strategic guy, and who your focus is more on pastoring these days than this particular battle, although of course you still stand strong in this battle, but where do you see it going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I see rapidly increasing persecution of people who disagree. I think the hate crimes laws are going to start to be used to punish people who say that homosexuality is wrong, unnatural, perverse, any of those things, because you can. The trend is very clear because we have forerunners on this path, and England, Canada, Ireland, you know, all of Great Britain, Sweden, and then even in some other countries that where you would expect to be much more strongly conservative, like Brazil and South Africa and other places, where the trend is very clear that the gay agenda has always been about control. It has nothing to do with tolerance. The beginning, they started with this appeal to tolerance, saying we just want the right to be left alone. But then as soon as that they had that, they began demanding acceptance and then celebration of everything that's gay. And then they began demanding forced participation, right? And we've heard the stories. So we're members of the police department or others being forced to have a booth at the Gay Pride Parade. Now the entire California school system, K through 12, being forced to allow indoctrination by law, mandatory indoctrination of the children in gay history, lionizing perverts like Harvey Milk, and presented as leading citizens that deserve respect and honor, and then within the law also the what appears to be language that will punish any dissenting viewpoint.
Yes, speaking of adverse, you cannot say anything adverse to the LGBT community in California schools.
Right. It's SB 48.
30 seconds, Scott. Give us some upbeat thing with that 30 seconds left here.
Well, the our God reigns, and greater is he that's in you than he who's in the world. And that even though everything is in turmoil around us, we can stand in Christ in the eye of the storm and have peace and joy, love for our families. And we should all be working to bring more and more people into the lifeboat, even if the Titanic is going down.
All right, Scott Wilson, thanks for this interview. We have one more set with Scott next week, and we'll keep you updated on this case with the so-called non-hate crime against Christians. We'll be right. See you next week. Bye-bye.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.